to me, like Timothy in the Bible, I can say from a child I was taught the Holy Scriptures. So when the word grace comes up, I immediately think, you know, the biblical type of thing of that. But these people came up, well, the first one said, is it to do with like when a model is walking down a catwalk or walking with grace? Fair enough. Somebody else said, well, isn't it a prayer you say before you have a meal? Well, again, fair enough. Anyway, I went to look at an old-fashioned thing called a dictionary. And here in Collins' dictionary, here's the that has got 16 different descriptions of what the word grace means. Elegance and beauty of movement. So that lady wasn't wrong, was she? A pleasing or charming quality, goodwill or favor, a delay granted for the payment of the debt. Have you heard that? A period of grace? 16 different ones. But then it came up with a couple of really good ones. It's where we're going this morning. And it talks about, it's the free and unmerited favor of God shown towards man. And backed up, of course, by scripture, God demonstrates his own love for us that while we were still sinners, in other words, while we merited nothing, while we deserved nothing, Christ died for us. And in Ephesians, the next chapter, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of yourselves. You can't do it yourself. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. You can't do anything except respond in faith to this grace on the gift of God. And so here's, and the dictionary went on with this description, which I thought was another good one. Divine assistance given to man in spiritual rebirth. And again, in Titus, it says, he saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs. This is a wonderful thing, this grace of God. And so we're looking at the word grace. The grace, the Greek word charis, is much more specific than the English word grace. And I think it is very fair, that little description there in the blue, the free and unmerited favor of God, because it's talking there in verse 6, which Emily read, about the Father's glorious grace, which he has freely given us. Literally, that means favored us with, in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the one he loves. His glorious grace, freely given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And what does that mean? Well, it means the things listed here. It means we have redemption through his blood. Now, we don't deserve that. We do not merit that. But they're talking about the blood. Most of you, if you're, you know, been with church a long time, we know when we talk about the blood, it's not a bit of a, it's a bit of a weird phrase, isn't it? But it's referring to the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ when he died on the cross, so that he took his sins on himself, so that we could be redeemed through his blood. And that comes to us through this free, unmerited favor of God to forgive us for our sins. You know, Paul says elsewhere, all have sinned. It's not a popular word today. Don't like sin, do we? Don't like the word sin. But all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So when we're talking about sin, we're not talking about murderers and robbers, obviously included, but that which comes short of God's glory. And he goes on to say, the wages of sin is death, which is not a very nice thing to say, but the free gift of God is eternal life. So we don't deserve this, and yet we receive this from him. Goes on about being chosen in him. That's a big subject. But let's just say that this is not like, you know, you do somebody a favor, you buy somebody an ice cream and go off. No, we're chosen to be part of his family as we respond to him. And we are also sealed with the Holy Spirit. Now, that is a term from this port of Ephesus, the great trading center that it was in the Roman Empire. And people would go, the merchants would go there and they would do business, they would buy goods or whatever it was. And then that would be packaged up and they would put their seal on it. And then the merchant would go off and do a bit more business and again, put his seal on it. A bit more, put his seal. At the end of the day, he would come back and everything with his seal on it would be loaded into his cart or whatever, and it would be his to take away. And here's the picture. The Lord Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit so that when he comes again, or if we go to meet him before that, because we're called home, he says, they're mine, she's mine, he's mine, they're mine. They've got the seal of the Holy Spirit. That's the picture here. And this is all unmerited favor of God. And I love that little bit in verse 8, where he talks about this grace being lavished upon us. Do you like the word lavished? This is not a thimbleful. You see a thimble? If you're not watching on a phone, that would be good. We're not talking thimblefuls of grace here. We're talking about oceans of grace lavished upon us. And we're going to go on in the second part to look at the purpose of God. But just before we do, and we're going to sing the song Amazing Grace, when I was doing this, I was prompted, I think, by the Holy Spirit to say, look, there may be some watching who said, this all sounds very good, the wonderful grace of God. I can't honestly say I've ever experienced this. God's arms are open this morning to you, this free and unmerited grace of God. If when we sing this song you want to respond in some way saying, yeah, Lord, I'm included in these people who have sinned and come short of the glory of God, I need your grace, would you come into my life? He will do it. He will lavish grace upon you too if you respond to him by faith. So I'll hand back, is it to Mark now, and we're going to sing a song.
Hey, good morning, everyone.
How marvelous, how wonderful is the Saviour's love to me. We've been talking about his grace. So let's go back to my, here we go. The grace that he's lavished upon us. But there is a purpose. And I see in this passage two purposes. I'm just going to flag up the first one, which talks about God's purpose. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. Why? To bring unity to all things on heaven and on earth under Christ. This is God's ultimate aim. This is what is going to happen. The day is coming when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The Bible very clearly acknowledges that, you know, calls the enemy the prince of this world and all that kind of thing. And the enemy is fighting a battle in the world to keep us away from God's kingdom. But God's kingdom will prevail. All things will be brought to unity in heaven and on earth under Christ. It will happen. It gives us hope for today, hope for the future, hope for eternity, because that is God's ultimate purpose. But I also see something about the purpose of his will for us. Now, he's dispensing this grace upon us, and we've been emphasizing the free and lavishness on this. And let me just take a brief illustration of those of us who are, well, been parents. We're at the grandparent stage, of course. You lavish your love unconditionally on your kids. I know there are exceptions to the rule sometimes, but for most, it's just lavished on them unconditionally. We love our kids, but we do expect a response as they're growing up. And God's response, God wants our response to be that we might be for the praise of his glory. Now, that's a big thing in itself, isn't it? So let's just look at one or two of the things highlighted in this scripture. We're in the Christmas, the prayer. God has, Paul has started with praise, and he's gone into a few details and back into the prayer bit. And he says, I keep on asking that God may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Why do we need the spirit of wisdom and revelation? It's good because we need that for spiritual gifts. We talk about it sometimes. The prophecies, the word of knowledge, discerning of spirit, all that kind of stuff. We want spirits of wisdom and revelation. But in this context, what is it for? That we may know him better. As Andy was talking, you can know all about people. I always remember at a concert, I was at backstage and I met Cliff Richard. Or he would, should I say, Cliff Richard was there. I said, I know you, Cliff Richard. But he just looked away. because he didn't know me, but I knew all about him. He knew nothing about me, but God wants us to know him better. I'd been bemused thinking about this, that I have at various degrees of hot and coldness walked with God for 66 years. What a terrible thing to say. I know I don't look my old enough. And yet I feel I'm still scratching the surface. I want to know him better. And that's why we need an increase in the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that we can be to the praise of his glory, and that we may know the glorious hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. Big subjects in themselves, but when he has called us, he's called us to be part of his inheritance in his holy people. You know, there are scriptures that talk about our inheritance of God, but this boggles my mind. He calls us his inheritance. Isn't that cool? That's amazing. And we may know the hope to which he's called to us, the hope for his eternal purpose, which will be for every knee to bow and every tongue to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And also to know his incomparably great power for us who believe. It goes on to say it's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. I want to finish with a story. You may remember when Rich Colebrook was here, he used the phrase, "We are blessed that we might be blessed." I've sort of kind of borrowed the idea of saying, we've been given grace that we might be grace givers. Now, when I go on a holiday, I quite like to read a biography. And years ago, I read this biography called The Hiding Place, but I found a shorter one here. I don't know if you can see that. And I took that holiday and read that. The remarkable story of this lady called Corrie ten Boom. Her story was made into a film, which was either awarded or nominated for some Golden Globe or something or another. Basically, she was a Dutch person, and when war broke out, and I want to actually stay at the beginning, I'm conscious of the wide age group of people that are watching this. If I say at the beginning that this lady ended up in the Ravensbrück concentration camp run by the Nazis, you know we're talking about somebody who suffered to an extreme degree. I need be no more specific than that. But she saw that the Germans were taking Jews and gypsies, and they were disappearing. And again, most of you will know what was happening to them. And she wouldn't, and she, we can't allow this to continue to happen. And so she provided a room in her house, which is the title, The Hiding Place, where she would hide some of these Jews. And then the Dutch resistance would get them out of the country, save many, many lives through this. Then one day, one of her fellow Dutch people betrayed her. The Gestapo came to the door, knocked it down. They were, they tried to get out of them, where they're hiding place. They wouldn't do it, but you can imagine it wasn't a pleasant time. Went to prison, and there her father was with her, died fairly soon after that, and then transported to the Ravensbrück concentration camp, where she suffered huge degradation and hunger and all the rest of it. Towards the end of the war, the Germans knew they were losing, and they began to release some people from the concentration camps, particularly non-Jews, and she was among them. Nobody recognized her when they got back. She was so different. But here's the point which I'm talking about. This woman was a person who even in prison wanted to share the grace of God. And when she came back, she firstly opened a house for other people coming back to help them. She opened another place for these Quislings, these people that had betrayed them. She contacted the person who had betrayed her and offered grace and forgiveness to that person. But perhaps one of the most remarkable things was that years later, she was becoming well known, and she was invited to go to Germany and speak. Germany were trying to rehabilitate themselves. And she spoke in this meeting, and to her horror, at the end of the meeting, she saw walking towards the front one of the SS guards who had been directly involved and who had enjoyed being directly involved in her suffering. And she cried out to God. She said, "I don't know if I can do it." She's going around the world talking about the grace and forgiveness of God. She said, "I don't know if I can do it." And it was then the power of God came upon her, and she was able to give grace. She was greatly used of God. She could have come back she was in a physical mess, mentally scarred, and she could have just let her life go by that. But instead of that, she was a grace giver in every opportunity she found, and she was able to do a huge amount of good. When Paul was having a problem, we don't quite know what it was, but he said how he cried out to God time and time again, 3 times, I asked God to take this thing, this thorn in my flesh away from me. I don't know whether it was mental pressure, a physical thing. Some people think it may have been his eyes, could have been a person, whatever. Lord God, take it away from me. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. You can walk in my grace. Because even in your weakness, my power can be shown. And so as we receive all this wonderful grace from God, God is calling us to be grace givers. Listen, I'm not standing on a pedestal saying this. This is how it should be done, because I'm the person who can go into a shop and get bad service and say, well, I'm not going back there again. There may be practical reasons not to, but if my heart is saying, I'm going to receive God's grace for all my weaknesses and all my mistakes, you better not upset me. And I had to watch myself in that kind of area. And as I was doing this, I'm going to close now with a prayer. God spoke to me, I think fairly clearly, that he wanted me to pray for people this morning who, through the pandemic, but you know, other things through that, through various pressures, have begun to have issues in the realm of mental health. I think the Lord whispered to me, I did bounce this off Nick to make sure I wasn't too far off. And you know, being a grace giver, I felt the Lord saying, I'm being very careful here, can be a key to better mental health. Can be. It's not the key. It's not anything like that. But I believe God is saying, get more involved in giving my grace. It'll do you so much good. And I'm going to pray now for the prayer that Paul prayed. I'm going to include in that, help for us all that we might be able to better minister God's grace through our own lives, and particularly those with mental health issues. I'm going to do, this is a bottle of anointing oil. I'm going to do a virtual anointing. And if you want to receive that from the Lord Jesus as we pray, please do so. So where's the prayer gone? Oh, sorry, here we go. So here's the prayer. I keep on asking, in the prayer, Lord, we keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, our glorious Father, Lord, would you please give us increasingly this spirit of wisdom and revelation? Lord, we enjoy hearing about you. We enjoy knowing about you. But Lord, we want to know you better. And we pray, Lord, that the eyes of our hearts might be enlightened, that we may just know more about the hope to which we have been called. And something more about the richest inheritance of his holy people. And Lord, the incomparably great power for us who believe. And I pray for us, Lord, as we have been thinking about grace, that we will draw in this power. And for those of our brothers and sisters or people that we know or are connected with who are suffering, you know, in the area of mental health these days, Lord God, I want to now, I think in response to what you said to me, I just pour a little bit of this anointing oil, Lord God, and I place it virtually in the spirit on the forehead of each of those who are willing to receive that this morning. Lord God, that symbol of the Holy Spirit, the oil, and that symbol of that incomparably great power for us who believe, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, will be present in us as we move forward to glorify our Lord Jesus Christ, who is far above all rule, authority, power, dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but in the age that is to come. And thank you, Lord, that you place all things under his feet, and Lord, that you're ahead of us, your church, your body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Fill us afresh this morning. Heal us this morning. take us further into your heart this morning, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.